two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What's up? What is he? What did he say?
The Zone's Unrivaled welcomes you to the Players Club, sponsored by UCCU as Utah's Devin Kaufusi joins Unrivaled for an insider look at the Ute football team.
Yeah, boy!
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled's Player Club. The Players Club featuring Devin Kaufusi, as it has every week, from the University of Utah, defensive lineman. And what a week to be able to get Devin back in studio again as we discuss one of the biggest wins in program history at the University of Utah. Not just great wins from this season, but the Utes knock off number three, Oregon, move up in the rankings this week in the AP poll to number 16. Devin joins us here in studio. Devin, what was the immediate locker room like after the game, after you guys put it on Oregon on Saturday? What was that feeling like, knowing especially how much work you guys have put in during the week there?
Oh, it's so rewarding. You know, we really did put in a lot of hard work to, you know, past couple weeks to keep us rolling. It's kind of hard to get to the locker room with everyone storming the field. That's what I was stuck out in the middle and made my way into the locker room. Right there for the Utah Man Fight song.
I love that fans can enjoy that, but there was that part of me too that goes, don't give Oregon anything. They were storming the field after they beat us last week. Like, there's that part of
they
me.
They don't care about that.
Oh.
They don't care about
that.
You know,
they people
don't care
get
about storming.
Kind of
no,
stuff.
They don't care about storming.
I thought was, okay, maybe you do it. I guess you couldn't do it at the Pac-12 championship game in Las Vegas, so maybe you just do it there. But that's what that is. I mean, if there's going to be a game, you storm the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that one.
It felt like there was just a great energy there mm-hmm. all night. This was probably the first game all year that it's been absolutely at capacity. Mm-hmm. Big, national audience. What was the vibe and the feeling during the game and with the crowd?
Yeah, no, the crowd, we always – you know, make it a point of emphasis is get the crowd in the game, especially on defense when we talk about playing at home, is make a big play, get the crowd in the game, and, you know, early on and throughout the whole game. And, you know, Rice-Eccles has really brought it, you know, record-breaking crowd at Rice-Eccles. And, it was like earthquake moments, you know, Britt's punt return and everything.
Britt's punt return in front of the Mus.
In front of the team bench, too.
And yes.
He ran by everyone, waved at you guys.
I'm surprised one of those guys didn't tackle him. We
exactly.
So
you know, and so, just, you know, it's the reason you play football. And, you know, it's a game. And the opportunity Coach Wick kept emphasizing was, you know, this is the opportunity and the reason why you play football is for a game like this.
Coach Whittingham said something after the game. He said that I thought was interesting because I felt like it's been a problem. I don't know if it's problem is the right word because I don't think it's actually a problem. When you have a defense like you have that's young but very talented and you get in big moments, right, you get kind of too excited mm-hmm. and you want to over-pursue or mm-hmm. do too much. And he said one of the things we really focused on this week was just do your job. Don't do too much. And that's what it felt like in the game. Was that something that you guys noticed? And how much did you work on that? And what was the impact of that?
Yeah, I think just looking at our defensive, looking back at the tape and how we played, it really shows that emphasis. Emphasis came from 2019. You know, when they played in the championship, that was the big problem on defense when they played Oregon last. Was guys started doing things, you know, that they weren't doing all season. They started popping gaps, trying to make plays, make something happen, and Oregon was able to, you know, win the Pac-12 championship that way. So it was really just self-inflicted wounds. So this game, Oregon again at home, we really wanted to, you know, fix that and just play our gaps, play our assignments. You know, that already showed with, I think, only two missed tackles all game. I think that that's what we talked about, which that's was wild. Awesome. The series were, you know, not too many series like we've seen in other games. Really even out with Oregon stuff, but we were able just to really smother them. And that was from the sense of everyone doing their assignment. And so all week we were able to do that and play hard and practice hard. So when we came to the game, we were just able to smother them, really choke them out.
What did they do that was like hard to defend? Or
were you like, this is the number three team because of this thing, you know, that they do?
Definitely, you know, everyone in the Pac-12, they got athletes at the skill position. Oregon, for sure, you know, you kind of notice the speed, you know, Oregon's speed is a lot different and a lot quicker than the other teams in the Pac-12. From a defense line perspective, you know, they really, some big old linemen, sticking hard on those double teams, and so it was just straight out physicality. You know, Coach Cristobal is known as a physical culture in the sense of how he coaches, and so with Coach Witt. So we really just wanted to, you know, go toe to toe with them. Offensively, their quarterback was a great runner, and so we just wanted to stop the run there, not just from, you know, die, but also their quarterback is able to make plays with his feet.
Devin, one of the things we were noticing in this game was that Anthony Brown, their quarterback, just seemed out of sorts all night. What was the game plan with him from you guys? Like, what? I mean, he was certainly under pressure. When he did, he became some. I mean, it was like he was flailing back there, and there were a couple times where it wasn't like a full on sack, but maybe just somebody gets right to him and it trips him up or whatever it might be, but. What was it that you guys did against him that you said, we see this on film and this is something that we can do against him that makes him less effective?
Going back to how we said, you know, just doing your job. Once you know your job and your assignment and your alignment, it's all about just the tenacity. And we talked about, you know, playing with your hair on fire. So that was our emphasis on the defensive line was, look, slant left, slant right. Hit it hard, hit it with your hair on fire. That was a word we were using all week. So,
have you ever had your hair on fire? I'm just curious what that
I just watched that feels Seinfeld like. Episode where Kramer accidentally lit his hair on fire with a cigar. And there was a reaction.
I think of Home Alone, you know, and what's his name? Pesci opens the door and and he's running around. And so that's how Coach wanted to see it on the defense line was, you know, we're hitting the slants. They struggled picking up, you know, those slides. And, it's really getting his face, make him throw. Great athlete. We felt that he couldn't throw, you know, the deep ball that well. Mm-hmm. He can stand it and deliver, you know, a strike when needed. But really, it's just taking care of what he can do with his feet and then making him into, you know, getting him into third and long.
Travis Dye was like a non-factor. I mean, this is a guy who catches well out of the backfield, runs the ball well. And you guys seem to stuff that guy all night. And so, after they're not able to do that, one of the guys they're going to a lot, getting a lot of touches during the game, and then you guys probably felt really comfortable after the first couple series.
Yeah, watching the film, you know, like I said, their whole line is straight. They're committed to the first level. So I'll just, like, double team. So that's, you know, me, Hawati Jr., and Aliki. You know, that's the life of the defensive tackles. You know, we take the two blocks and I hold it and, make sure our linebackers have a clean shot at the running back. And watching their film, you know, it looks like they relied on Dye to make that one guy miss and then he'd break it free. But like I said, just sound defense, you know, us holding space on the defense tackles, linebackers, giving them a clear picture to come in, and clean up Dye. Really patient running back. And he was able to squeeze through what we saw on film, some gaps that looked like they disappeared or did disappear. And then, you know, he'd slip on out and stuff. But yeah, we really just, like you said, we just smothered him.
If it looks like you guys are really fresh,
mm-hmm.
like physically, even, you know, some teams kind of get drugged down by the season or whatever. A year ago, the team felt like, boy, we could not wait for the season to get over soon enough. But this year, it really feels like you guys are fresh. Would you agree with that? And why do you think that is?
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. I definitely feel fresh. I think it's just the I know it's the the competition and, you know, the natural competitor and everyone on the team with all the young guys and everything. We all know we can play and play hard and play well. So, you know, when we're out on the field, we're making the most of our reps. And as well as just, you know, everyone's just really bought in. You feel the energy that's rolling with the season right now. You know, it's all coming together, peaking at the right time. Everyone feels that. Everyone is responsible, you know, taking care of their bodies, you know, not doing anything stupid, not having any off-field issues. Everyone's just bought in. And like you said, you could feel that energy of the team. And that was, yeah, that game was just the perfect feeling, the perfect vibe of everyone being bought in and believing in the process and the goal of winning a Pac-12 championship.
How much does depth help? That you're deep at so many positions, and does that help you throughout the year? Do you guys talk about that or notice it at all?
Yes. You know, the big saying is, you know, next man up, Coach Wells talks about. And I think it's a big problem. I think it's one of the biggest problems I think as a coach is having depth, but having a, you know, eliminating the gap between, one and two. We always talk about shrinking that gap. And really, as a defense, I think we've really shrunk that gap a lot. And, you know, the twos can roll in. Everyone's confident with them playing, doing their job, and making those plays.
You guys get the win against Oregon. It seems like an accumulation of, like, a lot, stringing together a lot of really good weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is like, okay, we're gelling as a team versus – every week we've learned something else about ourselves, and we're just and we're peaking at this point.
Yeah, you know, Coach Witt, what he mentioned was, you know, you guys have the right mindset, and you know, and that's what he loves to see out of this team is, you know, the personalities and the mindset that we have approaching each week, and as we're gelling together right now, crazy to think we only have one more at home. You know, grateful we earned, you know, our way to Vegas, but just yeah, it's crazy thing. Like, you know, our defense played great and stuff, but we know that we can give more, and we, you know,
right.
can sell or there could be more, you know, like a bigger splash yeah. or bigger plays to be made.
Should have shut out Oregon. I mean, that's my only criticism. It's like you guys really struggled.
yeah, struggle, shut out, no turnovers and stuff, but you know.
Oh, you guys didn't force a turnover. That's right. That's actually
no. Well, neither team had a turnover.
Neither team had a turnover. Yeah,
that's wild to see the disparity that big too in a game that there weren't any turnovers.
I kind of expected there to actually be some turnovers, but there really weren't.
Yeah. Well, it's wild. Well, I mean, the block field goal feels like a turnover. I mean,
yeah,
that's
block field goal and the missed field goal turnover
right,
downs.
You kind of feel that same energy because when the block happens, first of all. I look up and I go, oh, that was number 90's mitt. It had to be.
If Cole wasn't there, I was right there. Don't you worry. Cole, you know.
He took all the glory. It was his hand was right there, but it was going right to yours.
I was smiling when I saw it because we knew low trajectory. We got a good push, and I was like, I was grinning. As soon as I felt we got off the ball, I was like, oh, yep, here it comes. And I'm looking at the ball come right to my hands, and. I just hear it get smacked by
no
someone
problem.
Else.
No problem. So,
but it was perfect. You know, Sky does a great job preparing us, letting us know on those details, and everyone just trusts and believes it. And so it's really good to, you know, I've had one through the middle. We're getting pressure off the edge now and stuff. So it's huge momentum swing being able to do that.
And it gets in a kicker's head.
Oh, yeah.
When you have that happen.
He
because
has
he
to
miss
the next one. Yeah. And it's really like he has to hook it away from us
right.
in the middle.
Right.
Us being so high up there. Has to hook it and also – or gets worried with the timing and stuff, and so it really does.
See, like these guys are bringing it.
See, again, that's where some of the feeling feels like a turnover because you're like you're forcing them to make just such a massive mistake,
mm-hmm.
and to come away with 0 points, you know, inside the red zone twice in that first half.
Yeah,
they just had no shot.
Gutting. It's gutting.
And you know, when you see Britt on that return. And you're there on the sidelines, and there's zeros up on the clock. Mm-hmm. And it's one thing for the must to go crazy. But what were, like, when you guys went into the locker room then up 28, you know, a minute 19 before that, it was 14. minute 19 before that was 14. And then you scored those two touchdowns that quickly on that team. Mm-hmm. What was said in the locker room as soon as you got in there?
Yeah, we got in there and everyone's, you know, feeling it. Everyone's juiced
fired
and stuff,
up.
Fired up. Yeah, no, it's just, I feel like that's just the Utah, at least from a defense, that's just the Utah defense feeling where, you know, you get in that possession mode of that vibe of, like, there's blood in the water and everyone's about to eat. And so just feeling that confidence. So everyone's just, hey, we're doing our thing. Let's keep eating and stuff. So it really just becomes like a frenzy. So we got in there. Coach talked to us, mentioned, hey, these guys have been down before. I think like three games they've been down going to halftime and they've come out and won. So, you know.
Felt different this time.
Felt different this time for sure. But it was just like, let's just keep hitting them, you know, keep hitting them. And we love it because, you know, we've worked hard for it and it's paying off and in such a style and such a fashion of how it went down.
It really helps, Scott, when you like listen to Devin, our conversation with Devin Cafusi and the Players Club. Like, I mean, how awesome is it for these guys to be? I mean, this is a guy who transferred, you know, speaking of, you know, I know Peter Costelli transferred today, entered the transfer portal. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I was thinking about how, you know, Samson Nakua goes from Utah to BYU. Devin Cafusi goes from BYU to Utah. And for Devin, he is just – he's happy. Like, he likes where he's at. He loves the place that he is. He's buying into all – like, this was a better situation for him. And not only that, it's nice to string together all these wins and the possibility of going to the Rose Bowl. But this team is hitting some sort of a stride here that – you know, I think that everybody, it would be nice to do it right from the get-go, the beginning of the season, but that's just not how it works sometimes. And you'd much rather have this result, get to the Pac-12 championship game, win a Pac-12 championship, and get to the Rose Bowl. But yeah, he's been awesome to talk with.
I think the thing that stuck out to me was he goes, as good as we played on defense, we just feel like there's still more.
That's, you know, hilarious,
And so when you talk about peaking at the right time a couple of years ago and the other times Utah's been in the Pac-12 championship, it was with Jason Shelley. They didn't have Tyler Huntley. And they just seemed like tired. They just seemed that they were just, oh, man. And it just feels like this team's got a lot of spunk, a lot of energy, and that they're really ready to go do this. I can't get over when you watch how many young players there are on this defense and what it is. It's talent. And when you have talent, then they make plays. They may make mistakes. They may have to go through growing. But you've got a lot of young players on this team that you can just see get better and better and better. And that's what, you know, that's what it is when it's talent.
Right.
So you kind of have problems earlier in the year, but when you see improvement and you see things, then you know you have you see a team get better. You know you have good players, and you know you're really on to something. And it's a credit to the coaches to have patience with these players and to kind of keep building them up and moving them along. And because it's real easy for a team to just go in the tank, and that's what's going to be interesting about Oregon. You know, how is Oregon going to respond to this? Because Oregon looked tired. Oregon really looked like a team that may not get over this, you know, may not just be this loss. It could mean losing again and again. Now, who knows? But, it'd be interesting to see how that all turns out. But Oregon just felt like a tired football team.
Don't you just get the – and this is something we're going to ask Devin about in the next part of the Players Club interview. But it's going to be really hard to treat this week – like you did last week, which I know is what Kyle Whittingham wants to do. They want to treat it like, hey, man, it's Colorado. This is our rival. And then they look at each other and kind of go, like, they know that that's not the case. They can't manufacture this juice, but the thing is they can't fall off this week either. And the tough thing is that they know that even if they did lose this game, it wouldn't necessarily matter. But it matters to these guys personally. It matters to Whit. It matters to the team.
Oh, it matters.
You can't have a fumble. You can't fumble something like this.
Well, you're Colorado, and you've got a young team, and you're trying to build something there, and you're Carl Durrell, and yeah, you've had kind of a sour season, so to speak. There's not a better way to end it than to beat the team that's going to the Pac-12 championship game. And so they're going to have some motivation, not only because it's Utah, but they're going to have motivation because – They want to go out on a positive note.
Right.
It's not like Carl Durrell is leaving. You know, this is a program that's trying to build things. So you're going to get a good shot from them. Now, how good a shot? I don't know. I don't know how good Colorado really is, But you have to expect that they're early on, they're going to be there to play. And you really have to kind of break their will. You really have to just realize there's no shot of you guys winning this game and let it be done with. And part of that is you want to kind of rest up your team for the next week. And I believe all the other Pac-12 games are actually on Saturday. So there's even another advantage, another day of rest for Utah than if it's Oregon State or Washington State. I believe they all play on Saturday. So Utah plays on Friday, and then the Pac-12 championship game's on Friday. So it's one whole week for Utah. It's one less day of a week for the other team. They both have to travel, and if Utah takes care of its business, maybe it kind of coasts its way to a victory and can rest some players even more.
Ooh, I don't like that, Scott. I don't like the juju that comes with you saying that kind of stuff. It'd be nice to put this thing away early, kind of get these guys resting up and just coast.
I'm
you
just saying it would be nice. Will that happen? No, because this is the Pac-12.
Well,
and anything
Kyle
is
Whittingham.
Possible. It's just insane what happens every single week. I think the irony of all ironies, though, would be Washington State playing Utah in the Pac-12 championship game with all that's gone on at Washington State. That would be the irony of all ironies. I'd love to see Oregon State.
And again, no, Oregon State would be great because you can get that redemption win, right?
Yes.
Where you kind of go, okay, now we've got
to
come full circle.
You hope you can get that redemption because they have beat Utah.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not a good matchup. I don't know.
Well, it's at least one of those. I mean, Twitter's blowing up with, man, what if BYU and Utah played now? But at least you could maybe do that with Oregon State.
That's a good question.
And, you do it again with Oregon State and
what
Utah.
What if they played right now?
Stop. I'm not falling for this. There's no such thing.
Well, it's the same thing that the BYU fans said. Well, last season they didn't play the game, so we actually won last
yeah.
year. We're on a two-game
yeah.
winning streak right
See,
now.
The fan logic makes no yeah. sense. Doesn't matter, Scott. Doesn't matter.
It makes sense if you're a fan.
Yeah,
and that's really all.
There are some mental gymnastics that have to happen for sure.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that on Twitter, if it's mental gymnastics, I don't know. If it's just mental issues, just people who get out there and go nuts. Okay, it's the Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Also, Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. We're going to come back in just a moment here. By the way, on Friday, Jake and Ben are going to be at the Hot Tub Factory Outlet. It's a Black Friday sale in Draper, right next to Cowabunga Bay there. It's 121st South and Factory Outlet Drive, and you can find it there. And that's where Jake and Ben are going to be, 10 to noon on Friday at the Hot Tub Factory Outlet. Coming back, more to go. You'll hear more of our conversation with Devin Cafusi on the way back. How are they going to handle Colorado? What's the mentality going into Colorado? And next hour, you don't want to miss our discussion with the Players Club edition with Jaron Hall, the BYU edition of the Players Club. Stay with us. More to go right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.